So I want you to imagine with me that there was a time when the phrase, bless your heart, was really a blessing. Now, obviously, we have to imagine that time because that time is not now. If a teenager brings his girlfriend home for the first time and his mama greets them at the door with, oh, bless your hearts, nobody wonders whether they'll be together in a couple of months, okay? That mama is not pronouncing a benediction of blessing. She's like, oh, this isn't going to work. Bless your heart can be a nice, polite way that Southern ladies like myself express just the right balance of pity and side eye, right? Oh, bless your heart. I did my own hair today. Oh, bless your heart. Isn't this just a great idea? Oh, bless your heart. I think I'm going to marry him. Oh, bless your heart. After we hear it enough times, we realize that it's really an opposite of a blessing, right? That is how I feel about the phrase that is used in today's gospel reading. Now, Alexis's translation has some more common English language, which I really appreciate. The more traditional reading of Luke 13, verses 1 through 9, says this phrase, repent or perish. It says it a lot of times, repent or perish. I feel about repent or perish kind of like most of us feel about, oh, bless your heart. There's a lot behind it, right? There's some charged language there that I think we need to unpack. Now, y'all know I'm a Seminole. Go Florida State. Wait, did we win? Great. Okay, good. Yeah, go Florida State. I'm not trying to make enemies here, okay? I obviously am not that good of a fan. When I first got... Wait, I didn't hear it. Uh-oh. Oh, bless your heart. Oh, no. Oh, God. Okay, I'm also a Duke fan, okay? Most of my childhood, my dad in March, if I wasn't talking to him about basketball, I wasn't sure he heard me. So I got good at least knowing some of what was going on. So when I was at Florida State, I got there, and I had lived a rather sheltered life for most of my childhood, and so I get to Florida State, and they did this thing called Market Days. Market Days was Wednesday. Everybody would be selling stuff. There'd be some sororities and fraternities out there. There'd be people who were, like, trying to make enough money to put groceries on the table, college students, groups from outside. It was a gathering of a lot of college students together on campus. And if you've been on any college campus recently, you know that that also becomes the place where the people with the very angry signs, repent or perish, protest in the middle of all that you're doing. And so one week I'm walking through the market days, I'm looking around, you know, I'm kind of like bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, and I see these big angry signs, repent or perish, and there's like a lot of hellfire on them and various other scary cartoons. And the guy on the megaphone says, there's the only holy woman on this campus. And he points at me. And I was like, oh, he knows I love Jesus. Oh, my goodness. No, the reason he pointed at me was because my skirt was long. And I learned that because the next week when I walked through, he said, here's another unholy woman on campus. And that week, my skirt was shorter. I have a lot of feelings about that phrase, repent or perish, because it's been used to do a whole lot of harm. Amen. Now, if you Google repent or perish, and you may or may not want to do that, I discovered a couple days ago that you can buy a sign that's 3 foot by 4 foot that says repent or perish on one side and then has images of hellfire on the other, and it's only $35. So if you want that, it's cheap. We've read repent or perish on enough signs with lists of who it is that God hates. That you may have tightened all the muscles in your body like I did whenever I hear that phrase. But we are walking with Jesus through this Lenten season, and so I want to hear what Jesus has to say. The really ironic thing is that those big giant signs are meant to be pointed at other people, right? There's not a lot of people like holding that sign up to themselves, but that's exactly what Jesus corrects in today's scripture. What these folks want to make about them, Jesus makes about us. Now, what we hear is that these people come to Jesus and they say, Jesus, you're not going to believe what Herod did. Jesus, did you hear about those Galileans? And Jesus responds, if you want to blame their tragic deaths on their sinfulness, then you're getting it all wrong. Listen, the thing is, repent yourselves or we're all going to perish. Now, notice a couple of things. First, this is not a singular, like, you, Kayla, you repent, right? It's if you don't all repent, you're all gonna perish. Jesus turns it back to them, the folks who come to him to tell him about everybody else. You all came here trying to find a reason that their sin caused them to deserve these tragic deaths, right? That's what Jesus is saying to them. And Jesus responds, this message is for you. Turn our lives around, or we're all going to keep on dying and hurting each other. What Jesus recognized in them is that this group wanted to make repent or perish be about them, but Jesus makes it about us. A word from the Lord. This is a word for us, church, right? We live in an incredibly divided world, and lots of us want to go to Jesus and tell him about all of our thems. They this, and they that, and they over there, and they them. But we've got to be prepared for Jesus to make it about us. I read a really powerful book called Blue Like Jazz that went on campus of colleges and put up a big booth that says confession. And in response to the people who hold up the signs, repent or perish, they put up this big confession booth and just waited for college students to come in. And what they expected, as the college students entered, they expected to go in and be told about how sinful they are, right? And how terrible they are, and that this booth would receive your sins and forgive you for that. And what they did instead was all the church folks sitting on the inside of the confession booth, when the college students would come in, said, we want to confess to you that we have not reached out to you in a way that was helpful. We want to confess to you that the church has gotten it wrong sometimes. We want to confess to you that the church has given an image that we don't think is consistent with God's grace, and we're sorry. They turned that right around, right? It's not holding up repent or perish signs at a bunch of college students. It's going to college students and saying, hey, this is actually about us, not you, not them. That's the first thing I want us to notice, is that Jesus makes it about us. The second thing is that in order for us to get a sense of what repent or perish means, let's look at how Jesus actually explains it, right? We don't want to just take bless your heart over time and figure that that's what it has always meant. And so how do we figure out what repent or perish means? We have to actually look at how Jesus describes it. He uses this parable of the fig tree. Now he walks up, he's saying, you know, a gardener recognizes the fig tree isn't producing fruit. Now I'm always nervous about gardening analogies because my knowledge is woefully lacking. So David, you just wave if I'm wrong. But fig trees apparently typically produce fruit within about 3 years. And so the owner comes up and says, look, we planted this tree. It's been 3 years. It's produced nothing. You see, a tree that isn't producing fruit isn't producing seed. If we said that another way, a tree that isn't producing new life is already dying. This is where we hear, repent or perish. Turn around or you're headed toward death. Produce fruit or we're already dying. Be practicing life or we will be practicing a world of death. We know that this is true. God even says it to Joshua. God says, I call heaven and earth to witness to you today that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Choose life that you and your people may live. What does it mean to be producing fruit in keeping with repentance? That's another quote from another gospel. What does it mean to be people who are fighting against the powers of death and destruction and despair in this world by being life? It certainly does not mean holding up a sign pointed towards people that we don't know, explaining their sin to them. It means when given the opportunity to slide into our well-worn track of garbage-talking our enemies, we don't. It means that wherever possible, we do no harm, we do all the good that we can, and we stay in love with God. It means that over war, we choose peace. Over violence, we choose negotiation and conversation. Over othering people, we choose belonging for all. It means using our words and our work and our hearts and our minds and our souls and our dollar bills to build up our neighborhoods, our community, our enemies and friends, and not to tear them down. This is a hard one. It means when given the opportunity to roll my eyes or cut off relationship or shut down or check out or ignore those that I don't like, I choose otherwise. I choose generativity, I choose life, I choose abundance, I choose producing fruit for the kingdom. Repentance looks like living a life that believes life will get the last word. That's what it's really about, right? Believing that life will get the last word. Repentance means producing some fruit or knowing that we're already kind of dead anyway. If we aren't making fruit and seeds, we're already kind of dying. It means not getting so mad at Jesus when he's digging around at our roots and putting fertilizer and tilling the soil in our lives, giving us new nutrients that we have lacked. I want us to be honest. If we don't repent from evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves, that's what we said at our baptism we were going to do. If we don't repent from evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves, then we already are on a trajectory to kill each other. We have all the weapons, all the will, and all the fear that we need to keep letting death and war and school shootings and despair have the last word. We already have all those tools at our disposal. But as Jesus prepares in this part of the gospel to go to Jerusalem, we don't have to stretch to imagine a world where we might accidentally kill the very best thing that ever happened to us because we're caught up in a mob or reacting to each other or us versus them. Friends, we really do need to repent or we're going to perish. We can't keep living in this world where hate and death and destruction turn us against each other and against the love and grace of God. We've got to repent from a culture of death, from the belief that an eye for an eye is a good idea, and from keeping ourselves taking in all the nutrients like the tree does, but not producing anything for anybody else. This is what God calls us to not make it about them, but for us to examine our hearts and imagine that God wants to produce fruit in our lives. God wants us to be gifts to the world, to produce fruit for the kingdom that brings about life and goodness and grace and mercy and justice here and now. I want to close with a story about a moment when I saw the kingdom incarnate in our fellowship hall. So there's this guy, Danny. I asked his permission to tell this story. And one Saturday night, he had gotten robbed while he was walking down the street. Robbed by a guy who was clearly having a hard time and who was looking for money anywhere he could get it. And so Danny gets robbed by this guy. It's like $10 or $15. And then shows up the next day to ride the bus with Ryan. So Danny's riding around the community going to help make sure people get picked up, that their stuff gets put on the bus, gets taken off as is necessary. And Danny pulls, as the bus drives up, Danny sees the guy who robbed him the night before. Now Danny says to Ryan, pull the bus over. And Ryan's like, why? Pull the bus over. Why? That guy robbed me last night. And Ryan's like, no. I cannot pull the Methodist Church bus over and have you beat this dude up in the middle of the street while I'm sitting here. I can't do it. And he's like, no, I'm not going to hurt him. Just pull the bus over. And so Danny gets off the bus and walks up to the guy, and the guy gets very nervous. And Danny says, get on this bus with me, man. The guy's like, I. And Danny's like, I'm not going to hurt you. Just get on this bus with me. I can take you to the place where you can get a hot meal today and groceries for the week. If you're desperate enough that you're going to rob me, well, then you're probably hungry, so come and eat with me. Now, the guy is absolutely terrified, and Ryan's now leaning out the door. We're not going to hurt you. And so I'm sitting at the table, and I see Danny sitting next to this guy I've never seen before. And I said, hey, Danny, who's your friend? He's like, oh, this is so-and-so. He robbed me last night, but I told him he didn't have to live like that. I told him he was welcome here and he could eat and he didn't have to be so worried. That is what the kingdom looks like, friends. Repentance looks like all of us seeing all of us as each other's keeper. Repentance looks like fruit being born for the rest of the world. It looks like not choosing a culture of death, but a culture of life. And so I invite us today to consider, what is it that God is calling us to? How might we produce fruit in keeping with repentance? How might we see less thems and more us's? And how might we be the people of God all day? Let us pray. Holy God, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to see your kingdom working all around us. We didn't have to think about it. We didn't have to name it. It didn't have to be our idea. God, your grace is already out there. And so, Lord, we pray that as you ask us to consider our hearts, our minds, our lives, that you would show us what it looks like to produce fruit. And then, Lord, when you produce fruit in us, we pray that you would give us such extraordinary generosity that the whole neighborhood would be fed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.